ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम Gornitai Das. At the end of the Jai Dvani, do you say Guru Pranam Mantra? You're supposed to say Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, etc. You said that? Super fast, though. Within about a quarter of a second. After you say Go Premanande Hari Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, glory to the seven devotees, Hari Krishna. Then you're supposed to say your Guru Pranam Mantra. Now it's become a fashion due to laziness in our society for devotees not to do this, but you're supposed to do it. Performing sacrifices is intrinsic to the Vedic way of life. Brahmacharis, they are specially meant for performing sacrifices, and that's why it said, Brahmachari should approach a guru, samitpani, he should approach a guru carrying this kind of wood that is useful for performing sacrifice. Householders also, they're supposed to perform, morning and evening, those who are twice born, they're supposed to perform fire sacrifices. And here we see that Bali Maharaj, he wasn't going to perform an ordinary sacrifice, he's going to perform an Ashwamedha sacrifice, which cannot be performed by an ordinary person. This can only be performed by a king. And not only by a king, he has to be the emperor of the entire world. In this case, Bali Maharaj was celebrating his having become the emperor of the entire universe. In one sense, it's also to show, just like Yudhishthira Maharaj was performing the sacrifice, to show that he's the emperor. No. He performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. One purpose of that is just to establish the fact that he is the emperor of the entire world and everyone is subordinate to him. But sacrifice, it's not simply meant as some pompous show. Generally, sacrifices, these big sacrifices, they're done as some pompous show of religiosity. Just see how rich and wealthy we are. Because unless you are wealthy and powerful and influential, you can't hold a sacrifice, a public sacrifice like this. You have to have lots of money to put, you have to pour ghee and grains into the fire. That requires expenses. Then you have to invite so many brahmanas, you have to feed them, you have to call so many guests, you have to offer gifts to the guests and the brahmanas. So it requires a lot of money and it requires some influence, otherwise why will people come anyway? And unless you feel you're obliged to come, then why should you bother going? It's to add prestige to someone else. So the sacrifice that is performed, but actually the purpose of sacrifice is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, he is Yajna Bhuk. He is known as the enjoyer of the sacrifice. There's the Yajaman, means the person who performs the sacrifice. That means the person who organizes it. And the priests, the brahmanas, they will perform the sacrifice on behalf of the yajaman. Often that sacrifice is also not just to show something, but there may be some specific purpose. Just like you see sometimes, we read in the Vedic literature, someone performs a fire sacrifice for the purpose of, for instance, having a child, or for the purpose of conquering over their enemies. But in any case, whether it's a daily sacrifice, an innocuous sacrifice performed by a householder, or whether it is a big bombastic show just like Bali Maharaj is arranging here, the purpose is supposed to be to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Now these sacrifices, they are within Karmakanda. And generally those who are Karmakandiya, they're very much attached to these sacrifices, because they haven't understood what the purpose of life is. Sacrifice means to offer to Lord Vishnu, and that is the purpose of life, to offer to Lord Vishnu. But they're not in that consciousness. They're in the consciousness of, let me enjoy this material world. But they're enjoying to do these sacrifices. One thing is that you can enjoy the material world better by getting the pious results of performing sacrifices. So And of course it's a big social occasion, and show themselves off, how, just like in modern India, how big you can perform a marriage, that's very important, how spectacularly you can perform a marriage. And people will generally spend far more money than they can afford for a marriage, because it's for upholding one's social prestige. So there may be these external reasons for performing the sacrifice, but at least in the mantras and in the performance of the sacrifice, it's understood that it's being offered to Lord Vishnu. Because actually Lord Vishnu is the enjoyer of everything. Bhuktaram yagya tapasam. He is the enjoyer of the sacrifices. He's also the enjoyer of tapasya. Those who are not performing sacrifices, those who are yogis or sannyasis, they may be performing tapasya. So within the Vedic culture, those who are on the path of advancement, they're either performing yajnas, or they're performing tapasya, or they may be performing both. But anyway, the enjoyer is Lord Vishnu. He is the enjoyer. Now materialistic people, they have very strange concept of life. They think that there are the Karma Mimamsa philosophers who think that Lord Vishnu, or God, whoever he may be, if we offer something to him, or if we perform pious activities, he is obliged to give us our rewards. Because we did something good, now we should get a good result. But in the process of sacrifice, there are prayers offered to the Lord by which one is supposed to understand that he is the bestower of all things good, and that is his own prerogative. But generally materialistic people don't understand this. Generally materialistic people, they offer some sacrifice in the name of a demigod. But even then, if it's offered in the name of a demigod, still Shalagram Shila must be there. The offering must be to Vishnu. The understanding is that the demigod is accepting on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So materialistic people, they don't have a clear concept of life. The Vedic culture is centered on worship of Lord Vishnu. But materialistic people, they don't have a clear understanding of this. Why? Because bhogaishvarya prasaktanam tayapa hrita cetasam vivasayatmika buddhi samadhuna vidhiyate. Because they're attached to material enjoyment and material opulence, because they want these things, that even though they're officially or formally engaged in the worship of Lord Vishnu, their mind is not fixed. They cannot understand what is the actual goal of life, even though they are engaged in that very sacrifice. So there's a lot of difference between someone who's on the Karmakanda platform and someone who's a pure devotee of Krishna. In modern Hinduism, we also see that mistake is there. People think, well, you know, we're doing some worship. Now we'll do Ganapati Puja, and then we'll do Saraswati Puja. And there's so many pujas, and Durga Puja, Vishwakarma Puja. Not everyone does everything. But there are so many different pujas, and I'm going to my temple, and it's gone, Hare Krishna, they're also going to their temple. It's the same kind of thing. How many times do we hear? We ask people to give some donation. I'm already giving to my guru. I'm already a member of some organization. But it's not all the same. They think it's the same because they think that the purpose of life is simply to enjoy, and God should assist us in our enjoyment. Or spiritualism. They use this term in India, spiritualism. That means anyone who puts some lines on their forehead this way, that way, and wears some cloth and says Om, and he's supposed to be a spiritualist. It's some kind of vague term. So they don't know. They are simply trapped in the external performance. Their understanding of spiritual life is zero, and it is restricted to seeing some external rituals or some external adherence to some organization or some guru. But actually, what is spiritual life? To sacrifice everything for Krishna. They don't know. Human life is meant for sacrifice. But sacrifice, what is actually sacrifice? Sacrifice means to offer everything to Krishna without any personal motive. That is bhakti. That is the difference between karmakanda and bhakti. Karmakanda means one may officially offer something to Lord Vishnu, but he's more interested how I can get some result to enjoy for myself. Whereas bhakti means one offers everything to Lord Vishnu and he doesn't want anything in return, even if Lord Vishnu offers it. Even if he offers liberation. On Karmakanda platform, they're not even up to the platform of wanting liberation. They want material enjoyment, which is enjoyed even by the hogs and dogs. But even if one comes to a higher platform on the Jnana Marg and he wants liberation, the bhakta is even beyond that. Because, what is that look? Salokya samipya sashti kaivalatvam apyuta diyamanam nagrindanti vinamat sevanam jana. Kapila Dev says that even the different kinds of liberation, they may be offered to my devotees, but they don't accept it unless there is an opportunity to serve me. So the bhakta, he is completely selfless. He simply wants to give himself to Krishna. Dali Maharaj is the ideal example. He was performing karma kandiya sacrifices and his priests were thinking, okay, this is very good. We're performing these sacrifices that will reinforce our position in the rulership of the universe. And Dali Maharaj, he is our disciple. The brahmanas, they were performing the sacrifice. They're thinking he's our follower, so he's in charge of the universe. So he'll look after us, he'll give us plenty of gifts. I remember once, this was many years ago, this must have been 1977 or 78, I think 77. We went to Puri and one of our devotees who was staying there at Bhubaneswar temple, he organized a feast for the brahmanas. Now, it's very difficult to get them to come at all, especially in those days, because we're not going to take food from these lechers. But they arranged it in some Gauriya Math temple, and they're also previously, even the Puri Pandas are mostly fish eaters, so anyway, some of them supposed to be from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya came. So, you know, we went through the whole thing and fed them, and then they got very angry because we didn't know you're supposed to give them some dakshina also. When you invite a brahmana, you feed him, and then you're supposed to give some dakshina. But we were all new in India and new in Krishna. We didn't know these things, and so on. So they got very angry. They were thinking, you know, we have to go and get fed by these people, so at least we can get some money out of it. That's the way they maintain themselves. That even sometimes we see people join ISKCON, and they become a brahmana, and then they become a purohit. They take up purohiti. They'll go around to different people and perform different sanskars for them and read their astrology chart and bless their children and make their living out of it. So it's one way to make your living. So the brahmanas who were, they were maintained by Bali Maharaja, they were performing sacrifice, you know, it's good. We get our money and he becomes stronger in his position so he can keep on giving us money and life is wonderful. But then Vamandev came and spoiled everything because he is the enjoyer of the sacrifice. He is the person to whom everything is supposed to be sacrificed for. So he asked, Bali Maharaj, give me three steps of land. And within two steps of land, he took everything. And the priests headed by Shukracharya were very upset. That sacrifice means you offer some ghee and grains in the fire, you offer things to us, and you keep everything yourself. You have to have plenty of money to perform a sacrifice because you give so many things. But the priests were thinking, all right, you give that much to Krishna, that's okay. And by giving that, you get more back in future. So it's a good business proposition. But to give everything to Krishna, that is insanity, they were thinking. And this is crazy. We see this also. Sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness. Usually, their friends and relatives. In India, they say, "All right, you become Krishna conscious. Go to the temple. Okay, that's good, but not too much. You come to the temple. You can come to the temple. That's good. Then maybe you'll become pious, and then you won't get involved in drugs and drink and illicit sex, and you won't get AIDS and all this stuff. That's good." To be religious is good, We want our children to be religious, but not too much. I mean, to completely give your life to Krishna, that's crazy. They'd rather see their children become drug addicts, because that's socially acceptable, because everyone's kids, you know, half of them are drug addicts, so that's socially acceptable. But to become a sadhu, I mean, that's really disgraceful. That means that, you know, you rejected your family, and this is too much. That's why when we're preaching to students, one of the first things they want to know is that, well, if I take this up, do I have to become like you? I mean, can I chant Hare Krishna and also get married and be a normal person? That you can do, we tell them. But they're afraid. They don't want to give everything to Krishna. That reluctance is there from the very beginning. But yeah, we like to be pious, we like to be good, we like to be devotees of Krishna, but, you know, we don't want to give everything to Krishna. We want to enjoy this material world also. So Bali Maharaj is famous as a Mahajan because he didn't have that mood. He conquered the heavenly planets, he conquered over the universe, which made it seem that he was a great sense enjoyer. He went to so much endeavor to conquer the universe. But in his heart, he wanted to serve Krishna. He didn't want anything else. He is a follower of Prahlad Maharaj. From Prahlad Maharaj, he learned that there's nothing in this world to be had except Krishna. So even though, as the head of the Asuras, as the king of the Asuras, he did what any king of the Asuras did. He attacked the demigods. That's what they do. If they get enough strength together, then and they see that the demigods are weak, then they'll attack them. That's why there's always going on within the universe. There may be intervals. There's fighting between the demigods and the demons. So Bali Maharaj, doing his occupational duty as king of the demons, he attacked, and he was actually successful and was able to conquer over the heavenly planets and thus rule over the universe. When it said that he was ruling over the universe, that means the area that is for those who are enjoying, because he conquered up to the heavenly planets. Beyond the heavenly planets, there's Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, four more planetary systems, which are occupied by saintly people who are simply preparing themselves for liberation. These are the topmost four planetary systems. So the demons, they don't bother, they're not interested in conquering over that part anyway. When Hiranyakashipu conquered, also, he didn't conquer that part. He didn't take over Satyaloka and all these planets, because those are planets simply for those who are interested in austerities and penance, and there's nothing, they're not enjoying. So Hiranyakashipu and Bali Maharaj, they conquered, but they didn't conquer up that far. One thing, they're not interested. Another thing, they don't have the power to do that, to conquer over the planet of Lord Brahma. None of these demons have ever done that. So anyway, he conquered over the, on behalf of the demons and with the help of the demons, he conquered over the heavenly planetary system and thus ruled the universe. But actually he wanted to serve Krishna. So when the opportunity came, he was ready to immediately sacrifice everything. That is the real meaning of sacrifice. These karmakanda sacrifices are just to train people that in a sense of Krishna consciousness, very beginning stage, just to train people. One thing is to train them that you have to offer to Krishna, at least give something. You're supposed to give everything, but at least give something. And another thing is that you cannot be happy without satisfying Lord Vishnu. Another point to understand that Lord Vishnu is supreme. So just to train them in that way, just to regulate them also, so they don't fall into grossly sinful life. That is the karmakandiya system. But it doesn't, without hearing from a pure devotee, one cannot be elevated from that platform. And actually, there's all within the karmakandiya system, it's supposed to purify you from grossly, by performing these sacrifices, that's supposed to purify you from grossly sinful activities. But within that, there may be some sinful activities also, because there's animal sacrifice, and if one oversteps the limits of necessity, then immediately he becomes sinful by unnecessarily killing animals, causing them pain. So karmakanda, jnanakanda, Gyanakanda Karmakanda Kevali Vishara Bandha Amrita Baliya Jeva Kai Nana Joni Shadapire Kadarja Bhakanakare Tarahai Adda Pate Jai. This Narottam Das Thakur says the Gyanakanda Karmakanda, these paths which are very much lauded by those who follow them, they are simply like pots of poison because they don't give us Krishna consciousness. And those who are following them, they think this is just like nectar. But what is that nectar? The nectar is that you have to get repeated birth and death, and you're subjected to eat horrible foods. Look what you're going to eat by taking repeated birth and death. If you take birth as a hog, you're going to eat stool. If you take birth as a crow, you're going to eat mucus. You see them. These birds out in the field, they come around the cows and they want to pick their eyes. Have you seen them? The bird comes and tries to peck at the eye because there's mucus formation in the eye of the cow. So they pick at that. Or if you spit in the winter season now, if we spit this thick mucus, in Calcutta I used to see this always. The crows would immediately, there's so many crows there because there's so many garbage in the street. So the crows will come and, oh, very nice, thick mucus, they like to eat it. So this is material life. This karma kanda, jnana kanda keeps us in material life. But surrender to Krishna, as Bali Maharaj did, that frees us from material life and gives us the nectar of Krishna consciousness. So this is the nectar. Krishna consciousness is not just simply some formality. So you have your religion, I have my religion. Or people, you see now there are different sampradayas. Generally when we think of Vaishnava in Gujarat, we think of Vallabh Sampradaya or Swami Narayan, who are not Vaishnava, they are Mayavadis, because they say that this Sajanand Swami is Bhagavan. So that he's Jiva, and they have equated him with Paramatma. So to say that Jiva and Paramatma are the same, that is Mayavad. So they're not Vaishnavas. So Vallabh Sampradaya, they recognize Vaishnavas, but the spirit of completely giving oneself to Krishna, is that there? If that's not there, then one may be formally engaged in Krishna conscious activities, but he won't get the proper result. And it's not that just if you walk in the door ISKCON and get love stamped, I am a member of ISKCON, that doesn't mean you're a pure devotee. Pure devotee means you have to have the attitude of pure devotion. That's why Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. We have to follow in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj and all the Mahajanas who simply gave everything to Krishna. Why are the gopis lauded as the topmost devotees? Ramyaka Chetu Pasana Vajjavadhug Vargena Ya Kalpita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the topmost devotees are the gopis. Why? Well, you could say because they're in the conjugal rasa, but then why is the conjugal rasa better than other rasas? And why is the conjugal rasa of the gopis in Vrindavan considered even more intimate than the conjugal rasa of the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha or of the queens in Dwarka? Because they gave up all social formalities to be with Krishna. They had no consideration. Even they didn't care whether he was God or not God, but they simply wanted to give themselves to Krishna. And they didn't want to get anything back from Krishna. They simply wanted to give to Krishna. So that is pure Krishna consciousness. Simply to give oneself, to give one's time, energy, to sacrifice. Sacrifice is a very good word, sacrifice. To sacrifice for Krishna. That in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami describes that a devotee should be prepared to give up something that he likes for the sake of serving Krishna. And he should be prepared to do something which he doesn't like for the sake of serving Krishna. Krishna is very pleased with that. Sometimes we see and we wonder, why are the Pandavas and so many devotees, they're put through so many difficulties? Is Krishna taking pleasure in seeing them in difficulty? Yes! He takes pleasure in them seeing how they remain fixed in his service despite all difficulties. So this is one secret of Krishna consciousness. People sometimes ask, how can we become advanced very quickly? So there may be many different answers. One answer is to take all difficulties in the service of Krishna, to actually sacrifice everything for Krishna, to be fully engaged in service for Krishna. This is a secret of Krishna consciousness. We're being taught this in this story from Srimad Bhagavatam, how Bali Maharaj gave up everything for Krishna. So he didn't have anything left. He didn't even have a house to live in. He was the king of the universe. Everything was superficially his. He gave it up. He didn't have anything left. He couldn't say anymore, "This is my palace, this is my home." The whole universe was under him, but he couldn't even claim one little cottage to be his own. He gave everything to Krishna. He was immediately ready to do, without any forewarning. It wasn't that he had time to even to think about it. All of a sudden, Vamandev was there, and he took everything. But he immediately accepted. He wasn't bewildered. Anyone else would be bewildered. What's happening? What's going on? What is this? Some yogi has come to cheat me. But he immediately understood, this is Lord Vishnu. I must give everything to him. His consciousness was fixed. Even though he was apparently acting as the king of the demons, he was acting as a big karmi by performing sacrifices. But internally, he was fixed in Krishna consciousness, which Shukracharya didn't know. He already had so many problems before. Shukracharya, his sons were Amanda and Shamaka, were teaching Prahlad Maharaj, but Prahlad didn't accept his instruction. And therefore, Hiranyakashipu was destroyed by Nrisimhadev. So, Shukracharya was very cautious of this Lord Vishnu. But anyway, Lord Vishnu put Prahlad on the throne, and then again his grandson, his son was Virochana, who was a demon, not only in name, but actually in attitude also. Then Virochana's son was Bali Maharaj. And Bali, he had the same attitude of devotion which Shukracharya feared, but he didn't tell it publicly. But then it all came out. Again, Shukracharya's plans for the demons were spoiled because one of their camp was a devotee of Lord Vishnu. So all these narrations in Srimad Bhagavatam are just to teach us that there is nothing in this world to be had. Nothing belongs to us. Simply we have to give everything. Give our time. And what do we have to give? What are we going to give? We're talking about big color. We need a lot of money, big collection to finish this temple. But Bali Maharaj, he had the whole universe. He was in a different league to us. He offered everything to Lord Vishnu. He didn't say, "Well, let me offer everything to Lord Vishnu, but I need 5% commission. So I'll keep a few planets for myself." No, he offered everything. Gave everything to Lord Vishnu. So that is what we have to do. Our time, our energy, our money, our consciousness, everything. Let us offer to Lord Vishnu. And become glorious like Bali Maharaj. Go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Yeah. At the outset of Bhagavatam.
Outset, beginning of Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that the subject matter of Bhagavatam thinks only love of God, which is beyond dharma, dharma and moksha. But in the beginning that Dashyam Muni was recommending fire to Bhagavatam, which falls under dharma dharma. It's a part of the
chip. That's true, but what is the message there? There are so many things discussed in Bhagavatam. Karmakanda is discussed, Jnanakanda is discussed. And bhakti, that is established as supreme above everything. So how are you even going to establish selfless devotion to Krishna as supreme unless other things are discussed also in comparison? Bhakti yoga is superior to everything, to every what? If you say, just like if I say, I am the king, you're the king of what? It has to be understood in relation to that which is inferior. Therefore other things are discussed. Actually, Hare Krishna. That payavrata, that was performed, that's a vrata for satisfying Lord Vishnu within the Karmakanda section. So why Kashyapa engaged Aditi? Because he knew that... Aditi. Then He wanted to purify her consciousness by fixing it on Lord Vishnu. So that's the point that has to be understood from this. We're not recommended to perform. We're recommended Yagyai Sankirtana Praya. In Kali Yuga, we should perform this sacrifice. Sankirtan Yoga. Nothing else. Or if there is anything else, it's dependent upon chanting the holy names. Yeah. I wouldn't even bother preaching to Pandurang Shastri followers. Preach to people who are innocent. If people are already following some path, it's that Krishna says in the Gita that those who are worshipping different demigods, what is it? Yo yo yang yang tanum bhakta shadhyachitam itchati tasya tasyachalam shadham vidame vidatamyaham. He says that, Krishna says that those who are attached to different demigods, because they want to be attached in that way, I give them the fixed faith by which they follow them. So it's true for anything. So they're fixed in that, so the best thing is, okay, so you know, take some books, and if you don't take some books, go to people who are willing to listen. They're not willing to listen. He's a Mayavad, proposing as a bhakta. They're the most dangerous. If someone says, I'm a Mayavadi, that's one thing. But if someone poses as a devotee, but they are Mayavadi, they're the most dangerous. Is there a planet for Vamandeva? I'm not sure. Some of the incarnations are permanent, they have their planets also. And others, they only appear within this material world time to time. I'm not sure Vamandeva if he has his own planet or not. Ram, he has eternal Ayodhya. Nrisimhadeva, he also has planet. Vamandeva, I'm not sure. Some of the incarnation is not. Mohini Murti, for instance, there's no planet of Mohini Murti. Let's speak a little louder because there's noise coming from outside.
It's mentioned that some avatars have permanent fixed planets.
Yeah. And others don't.
Meaning of that all incarnation does not have a planet, right?
No, all incarnation, that's what I just said. All incarnations are not permanently there in the spiritual world. Some are manifested at certain times within the material world only.
What about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Golok Vrindavan. Within Golok Vrindavan there's an area where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is performing his Sankirtan Leela eternally.
Is it with Krishna Loka?
That's within the Golok Vrindavan. Krishna Loka is another name for Golok Vrindavan. Krishna Loka.
If somebody is worshipping at Krishna and somebody worshipping at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both, and that person will go to Krishna, that person will go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or both.
One who worships Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must worship Krishna. You can't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and not worship Krishna. So, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they get forms for worshipping Krishna, and the same person has another form with which he is with Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We find all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have their form in Krishna Leela also. So they have eternal form in Chaitanya Leela, eternal form in Krishna Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's enjoying in a different mood. So who's he going to enjoy with? With his devotees.
It is a part of, say, Chaitanya Prabhu is in a part of the White Horse
or Golok Vrindavan.
So, meaning of that is the same as Krishna is.
These things can't be understood materially. It's not exactly the same place. Different area. The two leelas. this, the same, the two leelas, Krishna is in a different mood. As Lord Chaitanya, he's in a different mood. So it's not all mixed up. Same planet, different area. But when we say different area, it's also, it may be not just like you can, you know, just like you think, okay, I'm in Golok Vrindavan, let's get in our car, and I'm in Krishna Loka, let's go and drive off to where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. It's not exactly like that. Into a padyatra. It's not like that. So many things about the spiritual world we can't understand with material intelligence, because it's beyond material intelligence. Hare Krishna, they're burning again out there. Yeah, how many times do you have to tell them? They're not supposed to burn there. They should burn out the back. First thing, they shouldn't put the garbage there in the first place. So that everyone, the first thing they see when they come in the temple is a big pile of garbage. The next thing, they shouldn't burn it here so that it comes all over this area. They should put it out the back. Take it up as your mission to stop this. It would be a great one step forward, one small step for man and one great step for mankind. If we can do this, one step forward. Now, I've told him hundreds of times, and he says, I've told them, but it's not happening. We need someone on the job who can get on their case in Gujarati, speak to them, get the job done. Get the job done. The American spirit, that's what we need more of here. Get the job done. Go to the moon. We watched a video last night, produced by Karmis, showing how the moon trip was just completely faked. There's so many evidences. What Prabhupada has been saying all along. There's so many evidences, in which it's impossible. By their own scientific evidence, it's impossible that according to the way they went to the moon, that they went. You can see that video if you like. It's not made as a very entertaining video. It's kind of slow moving, but it's shows. No, it's by Karmis. I got it in America. It doesn't refer to Krishna consciousness at all, but it just substantiates one point which Prabhupada used to preach about, and which people thought was fantastic. Prabhupada said they never went to the moon. So here's American Karmis showing how they never went to the moon. It was all a hoax. Not from Prabhupada's books.
Some books are already published when I was. The books are already published.
Yeah, it's a whole. It's like UFOs. It's like so many people know about it, but officially it's not accepted. It's one of those things. They just try to avoid it and not talk about it and hope that it will go away, but it doesn't. And eventually, everyone involved in it, they'll all be dead, and then there's no way to say one way or the other. I don't know what they're thinking. They're all cheaters. $30 billion. One thing in that video, though, they didn't discuss about the moon rocks which they were supposed to have brought back. That's one thing they missed out. Where are those rocks? And then I remember they said that it looks just like the rocks in, geologically the same as rocks in the Arizona desert. That's surprising. I wonder why. You have any idea why the rocks from the moon are just like the rocks in the Arizona desert? What do you think could be